Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. My name is John Racine. I'm with the Church of Las Vegas, and we're so glad that you've tuned in to listen to the Solid Rock Gospel broadcast this morning. Hey, I want to share a really kind of a serious quote with you to start right off this morning. To be almost saved is to be totally lost. To be almost saved is to be totally lost. You know, I was thinking a week or so ago that incident where the family had gotten out in the water. First it was just a couple of little boys, and then it ended up being the whole family that went out there to try to rescue them. And they were caught out kind of about 15, 20 feet away out in the waves, and the riptide was kind of pulling them out. And so some people on the beach saw what was going on, and they realized that, you know, no matter how many single people went out there, you were all going to get caught, because it doesn't matter how many people you send individually, the ocean's bigger than all of them. Well, it was really awesome how there was about 80 people, I think it was, that joined arms and hands. Some of them stayed on the beach to anchor, and they just all held hands, went all the way out, rescued that family, brought them in one at a time. Through that chain of 80 or so people. What a huge blessing. What a huge blessing. I'm sure the family was very grateful for their lives. But I want to tell you something. That statement that we said at the beginning, to be almost saved is to be totally lost. If someone wouldn't have used some thought, some ingenuity, some compassion, and let's do this as a team together, that family would have been lost. Even though they were right there inside and everybody could see them, that they would have been totally lost. I want to ask you this morning, is your soul secure in fellowship with God? Is your eternal life secure in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because you see, it's not good enough to be almost saved. It's not good enough to just own a Bible. It's not good enough to just go to a church meeting once in a while. It's about fellowship. It's about relationship with God and walking with Him by faith, learning His will and putting it into practice in your life, and realizing that the only way possible for us to be saved completely is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Again, I want to ask you this morning, is your soul secure? Is your life in Christ? Because if it's not in Christ, there is no salvation. Now, those are hard things to say sometimes, and I know people say, "Well, that's kind of narrow-minded." Well, that's the way it is. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that, because God loved us so much that He sent us a Savior to save us from our sin. Okay, remember in James 5 last week, we talked about verse 7, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." Be patient. Jesus helps us to be patient and to endure all those things. He gives an example. "See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains." Okay, so he uses the example of a farmer. Hey, over in Israel, there was two seasons of rain, in the fall and the spring, and both of those were necessary for a good crop. Now, if Israel listened to God and followed Him and been obedient to them, He told them that He would send those rains so that they would have great crops. I want to ask you this morning, are you patiently waiting like a farmer? Are you patiently waiting on the Lord this morning? Let's listen to the song that we listened to last week, first this morning. It's called I'm Waiting. Let's listen. All right, we're back this morning, And again, in James chapter 5 and verse 7, James writes and says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains." Verse 8 says, "You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." So he brings in the Lord's coming again, not just as kind of an abstract thought, but as a certainty. In fact, he says, the Lord's coming is near. Now, how could he say it was near? Well, let's be reminded that Jesus told his disciples that no one knows the day or the hour, okay? Only the Father in heaven. And so as far as James was concerned, as far as anybody should be concerned, his coming is near. Doesn't matter if it was in the first century or the 12th century or now in the 21st century. His coming may be at any time. And the point is not that we know when it's coming, but it will come. And we need to be ready for his coming. So in Matthew chapter 24 in the end, in Matthew 25, it's all about be watchful, be ready. Don't be caught with your guard down. Don't be caught napping. Don't be caught fooling around with the world when the Lord decides to return. And so he says in verse 8, "You too be patient and stand firm." Okay, this is what faithfulness is all about, is standing firm. It's not going back and forth. It's not being on a yo-yo ride. It's not being committed and then quitting and then coming back and then quitting and never make up your mind. Remember what James said at the beginning of his letter in chapter 1? He talks about the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And so, folks, we need to be stable people. We need to be stable, standing firm Christians. And we can do that, not in our own power, but in the power of God. Ephesians chapter 6 talks all about putting on the full armor of God so we can take our stand. Hey, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right at the end of that chapter, he says in verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15, 58, Paul writes and says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm." There it is again. "Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And so he's not just saying, okay, be patient. He's saying, be patient, stand firm. In other words, you keep doing God's will until he comes back, or you go to be with him. You be patient, just like that farmer. You expect God's blessings. You try to bless other people with the comfort and the blessings that God's given you. Don't just be patient kind of underneath or externally even, but be patient and stand firm. Do the right thing. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be like Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, where the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So, folks, the King is coming. He is coming back. We need to understand the certainty of that and make sure that we're standing firm and faithful if it happens in our lifetime. Let's listen to the Newsboys sing, "The King is Coming."
Make a way for, make a way for, make a way for the King. The King is coming. Empty hearts are filling up. Wicked ways are coming undone. Every eye is looking out for you. anything that's not for you. Hear our voices crying out. We won't stop till the heavens come down. We won't stop till every knee bows to you. And all our hearts will sing is make a way for. Make a way for. Make a way for the King. The King is coming. Make a way for. Make a way.
All right, we're back again this morning, and let's go back to James chapter 5 and verse 9. Here's some practical things that James tells those who are to be patient and stand firm. In verse 9, it says, "Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Now, why in the world would he put that in there? Well, think about it. Okay, from telling them about the certainty of the Lord's second coming, then now he's warning them against grumbling against one another. I liked this quote. "When times are tough and one finds it hard to wait for the Lord, it's easy to turn against fellow Christians. One might be too pious to complain to God, but not pious enough to keep from griping at a brother or sister." We're not to gripe. We're not to complain. We're not to bite and devour each other. We're not to slander or gossip or treat each other badly. We're to love one another as Christ loved us. And so this patiently waiting is not just ourselves individually, but with each other. We're to encourage one another as long as it's called today. We're not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but we're to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And frankly, we need to be sharing the love of Christ and the good news of the gospel, and even the understanding that the judge is standing at the door. There's a judgment day coming, that if our life is not hidden with Christ in God, we're going to be judged on our own righteousness, our own works, our own good deeds. And I'll tell you what, none of us will ever make it to heaven on the basis of that. Some people think, well, as long as my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, that's not the standard, folks. I hope, friend, that you are not thinking that way, that, oh, well, I'm better than most people. It doesn't matter. That's not the standard. You need to be in Christ. You need to have your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, because otherwise the judge is going to judge you for every careless word, every sinful, ungodly action. We don't want that. None of us wants that. We want to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so don't grumble against each other. Treat each other and honor God with the way that you treat each other. Now, verse 10 goes on to say, "Brother, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. So he's going to give an example here of the prophets and how the prophets of old endured suffering and endured persecution in sharing the message of God to the people of those days. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11 in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And over in Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about all of those who by faith persevered and kept their faith in spite of all that they went through. Folks, that's the kind of standing firm that we need to be. We need to learn from the example of the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week as we finish up this section about being patient in suffering. Hey, let's listen to our last song again this morning. This is by Laura Story. It's called Blessings. And always remember that when we hold on to Christ, there can be many blessings, even in spite of the tears. Let's listen this morning.
Pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not.
All right, again, from James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I'm so glad to be in that place. I hope that you are glad too. And if you're not, or you're not sure, I hope that you'll do something about it. Remember, being almost saved is being totally lost. And so aren't we glad that we have such a good and an awesome Father that loves us? Hey, we're the Church at Las Vegas. We'd love to have you come meet with us. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for prayer and Bible study. You can come any of those times. We'd love to answer your questions, come along beside you, help you with life's burdens. That's what the church is all about. And so we'd love to be able to do that for you. You can find out more about us on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and reach out to us email or however way that you'd like to, but we'd sure love to see you in person. So again, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. Until next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.